Turn with me, please, this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And, well, let's start once again with verse 1. We'll start with verse 1 and read right down through verse 3. Kind of tie the loose ends together, because verse 3 we had fragmented, taken in sections, work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Let's go back. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. He says, in the sight of God. You remember, keep this straight in your mind. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, everywhere you go, all of that is always within the sight of God. You never really get to the point where you can hide from Him any more than Adam did back in the garden after sin entered in. He goes on, and he ends the sentence that began in verse 2, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I broke that inadvertently in the wrong place. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The brethren, that is, these are Christians, they are beloved. Paul loves them in the Lord. They are beloved of God. Knowing. Now, this word knowing is a very strong word. Having complete assurance of, total confidence in. Knowing, and let's drop this parenthetical, beloved brethren, out. Okay, brethren, beloved. We'll drop that out. Knowing your election of God. Your election. We're speaking here about the assurance of salvation. There is no way to avoid it. You'll find that there are people who, well, they try to sound pious, and I suppose from one perspective, it may sound pious, but it's very close to blasphemous. Well, you know, I don't think you can know. You can do the best you can, but ultimately, it's up to God. You know, that kind of thinking, statements like that, never come close to the Bible. You'll find that the writers of Scripture always express such an assurance, a confidence, not in themselves, but in the Lord and in the salvation that He provides, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Election, selection, the fact that God came and knocked on your heart's door. It's interesting, my friend, when you begin to look at what the Bible says and contrast it with what you'll find in music, the old quartet songs, I searched and I searched for a road that led to glory. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If anyone makes it, then surely I will. Why? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Jesus came and knocked on your heart's door. You were not looking for Him. You were not looking for the salvation that God would provide. You were looking for a way to satisfy a religious itch on your own terms, your own way, in a way that was consistent with what you thought was important. God doesn't work that way. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, He picked you, and because He picked you, the purpose of God will always come to fruition. He will always bring it to pass what He wants. Knowing, being assured of the assurance of your salvation in God. That would be another way of reading that. Verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. It wasn't just in speech, it wasn't just in discourse, but also in power. Now, this word power comes from a Greek word that has to do with the meaning inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. The gospel because of its nature, by virtue of what it is imbued with power. He said, our gospel came not unto you in word only. It wasn't just cheap talk, but rather it exhibited power. In what sense? The idea of the spectacle, the idea of, oh, it's a miracle, I saw this and he did that. And my friend, you will never see a miracle greater than the miracle performed by the grace of God in the heart of an individual who, deserving of hell, confesses his sin before the Lord and is changed, miraculously, divinely changed, supernaturally changed into a child of God. You ever get to the point where you think that's old hat, you better start watching, because they're digging a hole for you. You're done dead, at least in the brain. No, he says here, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, that is the power of the Holy Ghost attendant upon the preaching of the Word of God, and in much assurance, this word assurance, most certain confidence, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know what we were. You know the kind of reputation we had. You know how we lived, what our lifestyle was. You know the kind of walk that we had. And ye became followers. The word follower is imitator. And ye became imitators of us and of the Lord. You say, wait a minute, the Lord wasn't there. The Lord was already in heaven. How can they be a follower of Christ? Remember, in one passage, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Do you realize, Christian, there are people who are following your example? You are a role model. And if you are not demonstrating Jesus Christ in your life, if you are not showing forth Jesus Christ, if you are not an imitator of Jesus Christ, then what are those people doing following your example? What are they who are imitating you? Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received, that is, having embraced the word in much affliction. It wasn't easy being a Christian back then. It was different than it is today. Now it's cheap. Yeah, sure, everybody's a Christian, unless they're some sort of communist atheist. Really? Having received, having embraced the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. My friend, there is a joy that passes understanding. There is a joy that has its source not in a bottle, not in a pill, not in something you shoot in your veins. There is a joy that comes only from God. The joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were ensamples. Now the word ensample, you might as well read it with understanding as example. Literally, this word here that's translated ensample, the mark of a stroke or blow, a print. It's an impression that's made from a blow, okay? Ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You say, wait a minute, I don't get that. Mark of a stroke or a blow? A print? What does that have to consider? You take a piece of metal, you strike it with a hammer, and it leaves you see a place where it's kind of mushed out. You can see where that hammer hit it. If you were to draw back and hit that same piece of metal with a pick or a mattock, it would leave a different print. But it would give you some idea of the nature of what struck it, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. If you ever went, just plinking, maybe with a .22, you went out and shot a tin can. Well, when that bullet strikes a tin can, of course, it makes a hole in it, but it gives you an indication of the diameter of that bullet. Let's say here's a tin can. Somebody shot it with a .22. Somebody else comes along with a .45. kaboom, hits the same can. Can you tell which hole was made by which weapon? Well, of course. 45 leaves a lot bigger hole than a 22. It bears the imprint of the blow. What made that impact on you? What changed your life so dramatically? Was it not the presence of the Holy Spirit as you gave your heart to Christ? Was it not because old things passed away and all things became new? Was it not because you were made a child of God, whereas once you had been a child of hell? So that ye are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, or for this reason, this is why you're an example. This is why people can see the imprint on you. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. These Thessalonians were so vocal in their walk with the Lord. They were so militant in their evangelization, so aggressive in getting the word of God out. By the time Paul would get to a place, these folks from Thessalonica had already been through there. Somebody from Thessalonica had already been preaching the gospel. He said, so that we have need to speak. We have no need to speak anything. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful comment to be made about a church. Let me ask you a question. Now, I know you can't answer back in a way that we can actually carry on a conversation, but let's pretend for a minute. Let me ask you a question about your church you attend. Do you have a missions program? I mean, do you set aside a certain percentage of your total church income for the spread of the gospel on the mission field? Now, I didn't ask you, do you have a bus ministry? Because I find some churches kid themselves and say, oh, yes, we have a missions program. It's running the buses to pick up little kids. I'm talking about a real missions program. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight here. You can say, well, it is a real mission. Yeah, okay. I'm talking about the kind of missionary endeavor that goes outside the bounds of this country. You can have home missions, not a problem with that. Do you have any foreign missions? When was the last time you had a real, honest-to-goodness, flesh and blood, air-breathing, sweat-producing, Word of God-preaching missionary in your church? Is there that concern for missions? I know a lot of little churches have one or two missionaries, but exactly how deep is your commitment to getting the gospel to those who need to hear? How much are you willing to invest of your money or your time or your talent to see to it, to ensure that people have heard the gospel? This church in Thessalonica, these Thessalonians, have a wonderful testimony here. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, and that's still a reasonable, a sizable chunk of real estate, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Well, I'm going to have to tie it off here. It seems like just get started, and then the clock says it's time to stop. Oh, well, I hope you'll join me next time. We'll continue our study here in 1 Thessalonians. See you then.